Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Google is now making its own hardware, including a phone and a speaker that includes voice-activated searches that can connect to other electronics in your home. Here's Google CEO Sundar Pichai explaining that the world is moving to an artificial intelligence world first.
In this world, computing will be universally available. It'll be there everywhere in the context of a user's daily life. People will be able to interact with it naturally and seamlessly than ever before.
And I'd say those people will probably include hackers, which raises big questions about the future of smart homes and the security of the Internet of Things, everyday objects that are connected and can be controlled remotely. Boston Globe tech reporter Hiawatha Bray has written about this, and he joins us now, as he does on most Thursdays. Hi there, Hiawatha.
Hello there. Glad to be here.
Is there something in the Internet of Things that is beeping at your end right now?
No, just the timer to let me know we were about to start the segment.
Okay,
I have to turn it off.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad we're precise. We're using technology to our greatest advantage here. All right. So let's first talk about Google's announcement this week. Line of hardware, a couple of phones, intelligent speaker, VR headset, Wi-Fi router. Is this a move to compete with all of Apple's sort of world of integrated hardware?
Absolutely, and also to compete with Amazon. And it's also, I think, an attempt by Google to leverage the huge advantage that it has over both those companies in one all-important respect. Everybody wants to have these intelligent devices, but Google's database of billions and billions of searches means that theirs are the most intelligent of the bunch. If you've ever used like Google Now versus Apple Siri, it's like night and day. Google can answer more questions more accurately than Apple can because they've got this huge amount of knowledge about what people are interested in, what they want. And Google is now going to try to leverage that as a way of finally getting some traction in the hardware business because they've had very mixed success trying to make like their Nexus phones. About the only hardware product that they've made that has been a decisive success is Chromecast. You know that little thing you plug into your TV that lets you get Wi-Fi? They sell it for, what, I think it's now $35, and it's been a huge success. But everything else they've tried has been a bit of a flop because they've let other people try to build the devices. Also, Google doesn't have a customer service culture. It doesn't have a retail culture. They're going to have to learn how to sell stuff, which is totally new to them. And that's going to be one of the things that determines whether this works.
Right. Sell stuff instead of just giving it away as they've been doing it before.
But absolutely.
But in giving it away, though, for all of us who don't have the time to read the terms of service, when we check that box, we've been giving them a ton of our data. I mean, like, what about with something like a Google Wi-Fi router? They would have access to virtually all of our data that flows through.
Well,
our
they already do. I mean, that I don't think the Wi-Fi. I don't think that is the issue there, because if you use Google regularly and have a Google account, they know an insane amount about you and about hundreds of millions of people around the world. They know that already, which is why these devices are probably going to work so well. I haven't had a chance to try Google Home, but you know I've tried Amazon Echo and I love it. It's a brilliant device. I mean, Amazon just snuck up on the entire industry with that, but Google can make something like that will probably work better, precisely for the reason I already gave you. When you use Google Now, it is so accurate. It is so good at knowing what you want. This is probably going to be better than Echo if they get it right.
Okay, so Hiawatha, then what does this tell you about what the home of the future or the near future is going to look like?
Well, yeah, you know, basically you're going to be walking into your house and bossing your house around, assuming you use this stuff. I'm one of these people who thinks that it's not going to be as all-pervasive as people think. We're going to put intelligence into a relative handful of devices. It'll be great to have it in our heating system, our air conditioning system, our TVs, our home audio, our car, and our home security. But most other stuff isn't going to be totally controlled. I don't think we're going to buy those internet-connected refrigerators or washing machines. I'm really skeptical about
you
those.
You don't? But I think people will. I mean, like, look.
I don't know.
I think after the first time you experience a fridge that detects that you're out of milk and it automatically tells Peapod or Amazon, deliver me some milk, I think people are going to fall in love with that.
You might be right. I personally can get by without that. But, you know, something which automatically lets you lock the door in case you forgot to do it and you're already out of the house, that's great. Oh, yeah, I'm there. That's absolutely brilliant. The problem is, and I wrote about this earlier this week, is that people are beginning to realize that a lot of the devices we're putting into our homes are insanely insecure.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. I mean, I've seen, you wrote about it. I've seen a lot of internet security specialists say that the Internet of Things is like a hacker's dream and security experts' worst nightmare.
Oh, absolutely. We've just had a couple of massive internet attacks, including one against one of the most famous cybersecurity experts in America, a guy named Brian Krebs, was blown off the internet. Even Akamai, Boston's great internet security company, had to give up on trying to keep them on the air because this attack was so violent. But it didn't come from hijacked personal computers the way these so-called botnet attacks traditionally come from. These came from a bunch of digital video recorders, DVRs, security cameras, routers. These guys have figured out how to hijack the router in your house or the DVR in your house and use it to attack other computers.
So, Hiawatha, let me ask you here, though.
Yeah,
is there something fundamental about the fact that it's an Internet of Things that makes it less secure, or is it just that the software and the technology we have right now, it isn't as secure, but we can make it more so in the future?
Well, you can theoretically make this stuff more secure, but here's the problem. You're going to be putting computers into every little cheap diddly thing out there. The companies that make this stuff are not going to spend money the way Apple and Microsoft do on constantly improving their products and patching security holes. It won't happen. If you buy a $100 device with a security hole in it, the only thing you're going to be able to do to upgrade it is throw it away and buy another one, and people won't. So these devices are going to be so insanely insecure, it's not even funny.
So how do we protect ourselves against that? I mean, we can't?
Nobody really knows at this point. The best you can do is try to build them as securely as possible. But ultimately, if these things are inexpensive and made by companies that aren't going to be absolutely fanatical about this, the way a Microsoft or an Apple or a Google is likely to be, you're going to have dozens of devices or millions scattered in homes, and not just homes, but businesses all over the world that will be open to attack. And nobody really knows how they're going to keep that from happening,
because
there's no way it's going to be perfect.
Would it be possible to create some kind of industry-wide set of standards?
Well, that's one hope that people have. It would be at least the beginning. Yeah, where every company has to meet some basic minimal standards of security, maybe enforced by some kind of a federal or international mandate. I don't know. But even then, inevitably, bugs are going to crop up. And if you've got this little device like, you know, the new Google Home Assistant that's going to cost $100, Google might fix it. But what if you buy a cheap, no-name company version of the same thing for $50? There's a good chance that if there's a bug in it, that company won't even be around to fix it. Huh. What happens then? Oh, it's going to be a mess.
I don't know. And I don't want my house hacked in any way.
But I don't really see how you completely prevent it, because we're talking about literally, Gartner, the industry analyst group, is predicting by 2020 there'll be like 20 billion of these things all over the world.
Wow. So
20 billion intelligent devices all over the world talking to the internet.
I might have to just live in a Faraday cage. That'll be
as
close as I
can get.
That's
it. You've had it.
Hiawatha Bray, technology reporter for the Boston Globe. We've got a link to his story about the lack of security in the Internet of Things. We've got a link to that at radioboston.org. Hiawatha, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks a lot.